This is the Media Freak Podcast. It's the latest and greatest podcast created by media people who are just a little bit freaky. We're not the big dogs. We're the ones in the media trenches who tell you how it really is. Each episode, you'll hear from us with a roundup of media news, our expert guests, and some anonymous sources about the freaky world of media. So who's on the mic? It's me, your host, Harriet from Publicis, Jack from Craft.
Aloha.
Buki from Wavemaker.
She's not here, is she?
I know, I wanted
crickets,
to put the...
Crickets.
What's it called? Yeah. And Charlie from Show Heroes.
Hello.
Before we begin, I'd like to say it's nice to see you both this year again.
It's nice to see
sober.
You too.
Sober? Well, not Charlie, but one of us. And also announced that we've hit a big milestone. This is our first podcast of 2025.
Woohoo!
Is that a milestone?
It is a milestone.
Yeah, fine. We'll so it's all very good. So big thanks to all of our listeners who just keep coming back. The good news is we haven't been booted off the air for inappropriate chats or revealing any industry secrets yet.
I'm not entirely sure it's that well regulated that anyone's listening to this with that much of a fine tooth comb, but there we are.
Well, you never know. In today's episode, we compare 24 versus 25 media predictions, the return of the four-day office week,
dun, dun, dun.
And introduce an exciting new partnership. So let's get into it. What?
I was going to say, no prizes for guessing how you feel about the reintroduction of the four-day work in the office week.
Well, I'm going with the majority vote here.
Sure. I'll offer a foil to that. Don't you worry,
classic playing to the crowd, Harriet. Yeah. Yeah. She knows she's like a populist leader. She is our populist leader, to be fair.
Well, there we go then. I get us the listens.
Yes.
In the out-of-home landscape. Bauer Media is spending the big bucks in out of home. It's been recently announced in the trade press that they have signed an agreement to buy what?
Clear Channel.
Correct. For approximately how much?
Lots and lots of money.
500 million just over in English pounds.
Very well done.
As opposed to what other pounds?
You kind of euros, the other one.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. That is pretty good. I mean, they're finally sort of, you know, entering the game to go properly up against global, aren't they?
Yeah. And for those that don't know, Clear Channel is one of the leading global out-of-home advertising companies. They operate both traditional and digital out-of-home ad solutions. It has quite a strong European footprint. So the move is obviously very big for Bauer Media. Bauer has stated that the acquisition will actually broaden its offering to advertisers, enabling the delivery of more impactful campaigns across the European region.
I think it's really interesting because they were already multi-channel because they've obviously got all their magazines and their various radio stations. Thank you for hosting us, guys. We appreciate you always. But there's obviously a kind of a big trend towards the kind of big media sales houses that are able to come back with multi-channel solutions. And more often than not, you can drive really strong value that way. So they're going to be able to deliver, I guess, far stronger responses that include out of home as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, obviously Global did this in, what, 2018? Something like that.
They smushed together Prime Site, Experian, and another one, which I can't remember.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously it's been hugely successful for Global. And I think with any of those, when you're dipping your toes into a new market, what you don't want to do is to dilute your existing proposition. Now, Global have done it very well. And I'm sure that Bauer will do the same thing. So it looks like an interesting development in that space for sure. But actually, there's a few bits like this around at the moment, you know, the Omnicom IPG merger. But it does feel like we're going through a little bit of a year of consolidation, perhaps.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's because the economic winds are sort of not really blowing in everyone's direction at the moment, are they? So it's almost like by merging together, people are trying to, I guess, buffet themselves against tricky times, which may be coming, because obviously economically, the UK is in a bit of a tricky spot. Although a lot of these mergers are international, so it'd be interesting to see which way it goes. And also, frankly, there's a big sort of looming shadow behind all of this, which is the Monopolies Commission. You know, a lot of the stuff for IPG and things like that needs to get rubber stamped by that. I don't think it would be the case with Bauer because that's inherently good for competition. And particularly because I think Clear Channel were looking to sell anyway. So it's actually, yeah, you're mouthing, were they? But yeah. I heard on a lunch that they were from an unnamed source. But yeah, I think it's a good thing that they've been bought by such a powerful mover within the kind of media landscape in the UK.
In the MarTech landscape, have a guess at how many MarTech solutions there were in the market last year.
Too many to count, Harriet. I do know the answer because it was in the show notes, but I'm pretending that I don't. Well, how many was it, Harriet?
Well, it was over 14,000 MarTech solutions, but that number is probably nearer 18,000 plus by now.
Wow.
Naturally, having that many solutions in the landscape means what?
That you're going to have to try and put a hell of a lot of time aside to try and speak to all of them and understand what they do.
Yeah, and with 18,000 plus, what does that mean for us?
It's confusing and overwhelming, frankly, Harriet. And, you know, incredibly time consuming to try and speak to them all, understand what it is that they do, and figure out which ones are actually going to be right for the companies that you work for.
Yeah. Unless you have a crystal ball, it would be particularly hard to understand what's going on there, unless there's another solution.
I've always been more of a tea leaves man myself, Charlie.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased to say that there is another solution. So Alchemy Network is a unique innovation consultancy that is helping companies gain a competitive advantage through their marketing and advertising technology. And Alchemy Network work with over 550 brands and agencies globally, and they identify needs and interests and then save agency folk like us time and effort by curating the landscape and condensing it down for us in a very bespoke, bite-sized way, which they call a discovery session.
Yeah, I mean, when you say us, I am actually more part of the problem than the solution, in that I'm an ad tech man at Show Heroes. We are part of that ad tech stack. But it makes sense. I mean, I think the way we can probably describe it is they're kind of like the Tinder of the sort of agency to ad tech world, right? In their matching the needs of the agencies with the capabilities of those who are in ad tech. And I've been lucky enough to sit in on some of these sessions. The outcomes are particularly good. It cuts through a lot of the, you know, you don't need a crystal ball to be able to understand, like, what is it that are requirements and who is it that has the necessary solutions to them. So it feels like quite a positive thing for both parties.
Yeah.
Kraft have actually been using Alchemy for, I think, well over a year now. They come in on a sort of quarterly basis and bring us sort of three or four different ad tech partners that we otherwise wouldn't have encountered ourselves. And the good thing is, because there's a bit of dialogue beforehand, they will bring people who are kind of right for us. So, like, if they came in with a load of different kind of programmatic partners, etc., that are really involved in the buying side of it, obviously Kraft don't buy, we just do planning and strategy, so it wouldn't really be a kind of good use of our time. But there's a lot of stuff in there around the coming in with sort of creative testing, how you kind of manage that, and much more at the sort of the comsier end. So they do a really kind of bespoke session for you, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, I found Alchemy Network really useful because we host quarterly innovation sessions for our clients. Those are usually themed differently every quarter. So Alchemy is really useful because they bring the right partners and talent to that session. So if you're interested, you can email hello@alchemy-network.co.uk to find out more. In network agency news, 2025 marks the beginning of the end for remote working. Most of our listeners will know that WPP has mandated a four-day office week policy, taking effect in April. We're expecting to see the industry follow suit, or the rest of the industry follow suit. The news has caused quite a stir with all employees, actually, with high numbers signing petitions to get the move reversed.
Yeah, petition. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So serious.
So it's a big discussion, obviously, with mixed reviews. What are your thoughts?
It's such a tricky one because there are so many inherent benefits to being in, like, the same room as people. You get a much better rapport. You build better relationships when you talk to people outside of the kind of grid of back-to-back calls that you often get at home. However, people don't like being told what to do. And the minute you start mandating things, that's when you're going to start getting kickback from people. It's tricky.
Yeah, I think, look, a significant portion of the workforce that we work with now never had a five-day week, right? Pre-COVID, yeah. Five-day week.
Yeah.
That now feels almost an alien concept, but the reality is that was the way of the world for a very long time. Now, just because things existed before doesn't mean that they should be done again. But I can see the benefits of being in the office, and not necessarily 5 days a week, okay, but 4 days a week, I can see that. The sort of intangible benefits that you get from learning by osmosis almost, right? Sitting next to the most important person in the room, you learn so much from it. Having the ability to be able to look at someone and say, how busy are you? Can you sort this out right now? Those sorts of things are important.
Well, Harriet's pulling a face.
Well, I'm going to say that's rich from both of you. I would say
I didn't say that I was completely in favour.
Well, just let me have my opinion. I think I'll start by saying it's easy for you two to say, being two males that don't have kids. That's my first response. Second of all, I think from a...
For the listeners at home, my jaw is now firmly on the table.
Second of all, I mean, don't get me wrong, I agree with you that you learn from people, you know, when you're sat in an office, but is the most important person in the room going to be in the office 4 days a week? I don't think they are.
I don't know, Charlie, are you in the office 4 days a week?
And lastly...
Sorry.
And lastly, who wanted to do this podcast remotely, Jack?
Well, I think, hey, listen, let's not get into the benefits of not being in the same room as you, other than I'm slightly worried that you might strike me any moment. But no, look, I get you. There are loads of different circumstances. And obviously, there have been like loads of different reasons for people pushing back. Do you want to know what my... hang on, let me just put my tinfoil hat on. I think the real reason that they're doing this is because they probably want to make a load of redundancies, and they're actually thinking, let's try and get some people to leave without us having to pay them off. And it's quite a tricky thing to do, because basically they're going to have a lot of people leave, and they might not be the ones that they actually want to leave. So I think that there's a bit of a cost-saving exercise going on here. It will be interesting to see if the rest of the industry follows suit, though.
Yeah, I mean... Look, if I'm being fair to both sides, obviously I see the need for people to come back to the office, but I can fully empathise with people when they're realising that their life is going to turn more difficult. Travel, cost, life, kids, dogs.
You know what? I'm going to interrupt on this one because I think actually when we talk about life, right, and without going too philosophical on this, I think nowadays we're seeing more people spending much more time at home. We're also seeing much more levels of loneliness, right? Like, and again, I don't want to go too deep into it, but actually we're seeing much lower levels of higher levels of loneliness, much lower levels of people dying families, right? And I know that's kind of a deep concept to think about, but actually this plays into a part of it, is having less people in town, in offices, interacting. And look, this worked really well for a load of execs who've got their families and they've moved slightly further out of town in their nice big houses. That's great for them. But actually, if you're starting off and you're 21, 22, 23 years old, is working from home several days a week and spending more time on your own a positive thing for A, you, B, the industry, and C, the future? Like, I don't really see it. I don't see that that's the case. I think that we have to really look at the sort of second and third order effects of allowing working from home to continue. Now, this made me sound like Scrooge McDuck here, but actually I think there's some valid concerns over that chat you're laughing at.
Sorry, I'm just imagining you diving into a big bath of money. but like, look, I get what you're saying, but most places are sort of like, it's 3 days. The difference between 3 and 4, it's like, What are the kind of additional benefits of making people come in 4 days a week? And also, I think in the WPP thing, it's like 2 Fridays of a month. This makes me just want to cast my mind back to a little world called 2018 and before, in which I'm going to out myself massively. A lot of media people worked a 4.5 day week because you got to 12:30 on a Friday, and thank you very much. We're all going to the Dolphin or wherever.
Media Fridays.
Or we're going for lunch. And if, you know, Friday is a much better day for lunch than Thursdays.
Okay, yeah. Well, lunch aside, let's not pretend that the media industry is all flowers and rainbows. Ultimately, it's a fast-paced industry where we work a lot of long hours
snapping necks, cash and checks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, exactly. So I think with that considered, there needs to be a bit of leniency when it comes to remote working. And I think the four-day mandate, I mean, are people going to do it? Probably not. I mean, are people even doing three? That's probably half of the reason why they're mandating it, because they need more people to do at least three.
Okay. I think you could go a long way to just to remedying it by making the actual workplace somewhere that people actually want to be. Much trickier in bigger organizations, but, you know, Charlie and I both work for smaller organizations. People go into the office more because you can actually see the benefits of doing it. I think if you're in the open plan C of, you know, one of these kind of massive sea containers buildings, something like that, then maybe it's just not as nice because you don't know as many people. There's less of a sort of a community feel to it. But
well,
I'll leave it
with one thought, which is we're very lucky to be able to work 3 days a week from home. Like your nurses and your doctors and your poor bankers are still doing 5 days a week, aren't they?
Poor bankers.
What did somebody think of the bankers?
Well, anyway, yeah. as I said, this is obviously a big discussion with yeah. mixed reviews. We've probably lost about 15,000 listeners now.
But
if you want your say, you can email us at info.tmfpod@gmail.com. That's info.tmfpod@gmail.com.
We're going to have to continue this debate in the few coming weeks.
It's a shame Buki isn't here, because seeing as she's commuting from Windsor, I'm sure she's got a lot to say. About
we'll
that
never
story.
Hear the end of it.
No. Anyway, in social news, to tick tock or to tick not? Oh my God.
Who writes your bits?
It's tragic, I know. The future of social platform TikTok is under question in the US. TikTok will be banned in the US if it doesn't cut ties with its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. This is due to what?
This is due to... Alec, I was going to do an impression of the senator who was in the hearing then, but there are obviously allegations of, like, they think that the Chinese are spying on them and stealing data. It's all a little bit kind of...
Well,
really?
I mean, they are, but they're doing it not just through TikTok. I mean, that's a given, is that there's international espionage is a thing. But yeah. Is TikTok the problem, is the question.
No, and it's they're talking about... There's lots of talk about making people... have less American mindsets and things like that, which actually starts to get you into some pretty worrying political areas of the spectrum. It's mm-hmm. It's a bit dodgy, but we're not the politics freak podcast. We're the media freak podcast, so we should probably talk a little bit about what it actually means for us, right?
Yes, yeah. What are the implications? I mean, spend is an implication.
Yeah, I mean, there's. You hear it on every single media podcast about the fragmented media environment. TikTok is one of the few places, if you go to the United States, and I've got a few stats from GWI, 62.4 million people in the USA use TikTok more than once a day. And there are 16 million who use it once a day on top of that. That it's an enormous amount of people. And given the fact that the kind of the monoculture has died and we're not in the world of like the Friends finale and, you know, all these kind of moments that people kind of all gather around, finding a place that that a lot of people go to is really tricky. And this is going to pose a lot of challenges to, you know, stateside media planners.
Interesting to see that users are now flocking to Red Note, which is by all accounts, like directly... whacking your data straight into the CCP intravenously.
Yeah, I mean that's more of a protest thing than it actually being a real kind of alternative, though, right?
I don't know, is it?
I mean, well, the thing is, I was going to draw a comparison with India, where they kind of banned TikTok straight off the bat,
yeah.
And they had copycat apps spring up. So they have an app called Josh and an app called Modge, and they basically perform the same function as TikTok, almost to the, like, if you use the apps, it's like the same thing, but they're just enormous within the Indian market. Mm. The tricky, and I think we'll see similar things happen, trying to go up against the likes of Reels and things like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, I mean, there will be the emergence of new ones, but...
They're not as... TikTok's
it will just go
established.
Straight into Reels.
Yeah, but,
all
but,
the ad spend
but what
will
makes,
just be ferried
what
to Meta.
That's TikTok. What Zuck wants.
Is exactly. TikTok the content or is TikTok the algorithm? Which is the bit that makes TikTok TikTok?
Well, it's a combination of the two. It's the last place you can really truly get proper viral organic reach online. The real, like, beyond that, it's an absolute disaster for small businesses that rely on it. People launching businesses, it's an amazing tool for people launching businesses. And, you know, alongside that, a really kind of core part of the media landscape now are creators and influencers. And yes, there's the kind of your sort of your basic influencers where it's just people kind of posting dances or whatever and doing dumb stuff. There are actually some amazing creators that have emerged as a result of TikTok. And across the States, those people are probably looking at it going, Jesus, you know, half my livelihood's going to go overnight because of this.
Yeah.
All those people who sell on TikTok Marketplace, etc. It's, you know, it's going to be really tricky.
Well, yeah. Fingers crossed, Elon buys it, combines it with X, oh, and we're all happy.
No, that's an absolute disaster. I mean, obviously, not a friend of the podcast, Elon Musk. Like, really, speaking of which, you know, we're just talking about WPP. Those guys platformed him at Cannes. So, I mean, you know, real good year for that. Yeah, for that. Yeah. But
we'll follow this story. We'll keep you posted in the next one.
Well, next week, we're going to find out. So, I mean, we'll do a follow-up to have a chat about what's actually happened if they get the extension that they're looking for. Because if they get the extension to the end of the year, then
it will be like the cookie conversation. It will be dragged out for eternity,
that's
I guarantee.
A big prediction. Do you think it will be?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. So, to be continued. That wraps up our news this week. Remember, you can respond and have your say in any of the topics and stories we discuss on the podcast. Email us at info.tmfpod@gmail.com. Moving on to our Freak of the Week. So, every episode, one of us will talk about a campaign or an activation and will be tasked with justifying why it should be crowned the Freak of the Week. So, who has one this week?
I do.
Oh, again.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Bloody me being a nerd again. I was going to take credit for it. I shouldn't. It was Bookie who made the suggestion that we do it. And I thought it was a great shout. So I'm going to steal credit for it. This is the Google Pixel 9 Switch Like Soul campaign. And it's, I don't even know if it's the full campaign, but as a piece of work, I think it's inspired, and there's so many reasons that I like it. So to give you an idea, I mean, we'll provide a link to it in the show notes. Google have released a minute-long video in which Sol Campbell basically talks about the benefits of switching. Now, for those of you who weren't into football 25 years ago when it happened, Sol Campbell famously switched from Tottenham Hotspur to Arsenal in the January transfer window. And he was their captain. And to this day, the Tottenham fans still sing songs about him being Judas, etc. So it's this really provocative campaign that they've actually done something really funny with. And there's a few reasons why it's great. Obviously, it's entertaining to watch. But as well as that, you've got the fact that it's going to deliberately antagonize a vast proportion of the country and also make a load of Arsenal fans laugh massively. They've released it on the week of the North London Derby, so it's kind of when the rivalry is kind of at its highest. And rather than sort of talking about the fact that you should switch to the Google Pixel because we've got this cool AI thing and the screen's really good and we've got 9 billion megapixels in the camera and all that stuff, they're just talking about the fact that sometimes it's just better to switch and sort of likening it to how much Sol Campbell went on to win with Arsenal. So there's obviously a very brave decision to do this from the client, because if you look at the whole campaign in the States, obviously they're not talking about Sol Campbell at all. They've got their own thing. So they've gone after this very specific kind of niche in the UK. But as a result of that, it's kind of blown up. All you have to do is search this campaign on Google, and you basically get inundated with various kind of publishers, fan accounts, all of the kind of the creator accounts across different socials who are reacting and responding to it. Now, that looks organic to the kind of the average person looking. I think we all know that that's not. They will have had arrangements in which they've got people kind of set up to react to them. But then a lot of it is things like Tottenham fans getting really, really salty about it, which is just funny again. So it's a really smart bit of media planning. And you can imagine that underneath, they will have all of their performance comms set to build up kind of retargeting pools and prospecting that goes on underneath to then actually bring people through to purchase. That's just my assumption. But I think it's so cool.
What do you think, Charlie?
No, I wholeheartedly agree. And I think
thanks, Charlie.
That normally I'd be wary of kind of alienating one portion of the population. But being a Chelsea fan, given it's Tottenham fans, I could not care less. What a fantastic group of people to upset. As you said, look, the timing with the North London derby this week, the actual copy itself, if you haven't watched it, go and watch it, because it's particularly well done. It's not just a good idea, it's a great execution as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
I think it's tapping into all of the things that we know and love of hitting the right nerves and
I mean, I want to disagree just for the hell of it, but I can't. I think it strikes the right provocative tone to a football audience. I think it creates a buzz. I mean, you've obviously alluded to the fact that a lot of that buzz would be pre-manufactured, but I do think that it will get the organic reach it deserves.
Oh, we definitely have. Knowing my phone has been popping up, I've got a lot of Arsenal mates and a lot of Spurs mates, and
it's proper group chat fodder.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
The thing that's brilliant about it though is like big respect to the Google clients for being brave with it, because Charlie, you mentioned it, like alienating part of the population. Like loads of big brands are so scared of accidentally upsetting part of the country, and will they hate us forever? Do you know what? Like, yeah, you might have some diehard Spurs fans who don't get a pixel, but I tell you what, I bet there's a hell of a lot of Arsenal fans that will be like, yeah, I'll have one. I'll switch like a soul. Oh.
Yeah. So all in all, a great creative idea, well executed, and a great bit of media planning as well.
Yeah, we love it. We love
it. So the freak of the week, it is crowned.
Excellent. Thank you, Vicky, for the suggestion.
First of the year, I'm taking the points though.
You take the points.
Yeah, three points. It's all about 3 points at the end of the day.
Now, would it be a Q1 January episode if we didn't mention media trends?
No. Absolutely not.
No, of course it wasn't. Well, I can't say that these are actually media trends. I would say these are kind of more broader marketing trends. But like a lot of agencies, WPP has provided an overview of marketing predictions to watch out for in 2025.
Friends of the podcast.
Exactly. But rather than regurgitate all of them, I've pulled together a quiz. So I want you to guess whether these snippets are from 2024 trend predictions or for this current year. So number one, partnerships. This is the year of unconventional partnerships that will challenge the standard category norm.
I mean, that could have been from any point over the past 10 years, couldn't it? But I'm going to go for 2024.
I'll agree with you on that, Jack.
Ding! Correct.
Oh, I'm so pleased I got that one right.
Trend two, or prediction two.
Right.
Gaming. Brands will embrace gaming, specifically with Roblox, with an increase in size and growth on this platform.
2024, because everyone was banging on about last year.
We've spoken about it quite a few times on the pod, so I'll give you 2024.
Wrong. It's a 2025 prediction.
I'm devastated. This is a disaster for me, personally and professionally.
Prediction number three. There will be a surge in short-form video for brands, and there will be a new path to brand fame.
I mean, given the fact that TikTok's going to be shut down, maybe that's, I don't know, 2024?
I'm going to say 2025, depending on how recently this was released, because if it was 2025, there could be more avenues with TikTok dying. But go.
2025.
Wow, okay. Yeah, well done.
Probably not for the reasons I said, but I'll take it.
Okay.
Trend number four, digitalization of the fan experience in sports advertising, including increased gamification for new entry points.
I mean, that I'm not entirely sure I fully understood what you were saying there, but I'm going to say 2025 because it's that level.
Sounds newfangled.
Yeah, newfangled. Yeah.
Did you say 24, 25?
25.
Wrong, 24. And that was actually a Buki trend.
Was it? Did it happen?
She did last year.
Did it happen?
I mean, I did think that one sounded like complete bollocks.
That is not fair.
She's not here to defend herself.
And sorry. I can't either.
Sorry books.
Okay, prediction five. There will be an emphasis on AI safety, security, and deployment of AI in a responsible way.
It's got to be 2025.
Yeah, 2025.
Wrong, 2024.
What? Well, I would say that now it's more pertinent in 2025.
Yeah, I'd say it's more dangerous.
Prediction number six, another AI one. AI will become a democratic tool with tiny brand players producing high-end assets and imagery.
25.
Wait, do we have to agree with it or just say, yeah, no, we don't have to agree with it, do we?
Have you been playing the game?
I was so vehemently against it, that was all. But yeah, carry on, 25.
No, 2024.
Okay, right.
I'm not going to do any more, but what does that say about yearly trends we in know- this industry.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, basically the crystal ball is rather cloudy.
Yeah, it is. And we've exposed ourselves.
So's the rear view mirror, apparently.
So those trend predictions can be found on WPP's website. So please take a look. And if you have any trend predictions that you want to tell us, send them our way and we'll talk about them next week.
Polish that crystal ball up.
So do we have any media anon this week?
Unfortunately, I think Bookie's got the password to the email, so we don't have it. But
no!
As
such professionals.
2025 seems to be the return of the four-day week and more than likely media Fridays. It'd be really nice to hear, what's your craziest Friday lunch story? No holds barred, although we will have editorial control.
You can DM us on Instagram as well.
Yeah, I mean, but if you actually want it to be anonymous, you can use the link that we put in the show notes. So,
oh yes, yeah, that would make sense. And that email is info.tmfpod@gmail.com.
It's media anon, not media confessions. We don't actually want to know whose souls are weighing so heavily.
Well, that wraps up this week. Thanks so much for listening to the Media Freak podcast. If you like listening to our freak this week, remember to like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Keep your media anon stories coming in, and we'll be back next week. The Media Freak podcast is a Gimme Sugar production.